Let's quickly kick into our message for this evening. I hope that I plan that this will be the last in the series We Have Overcome. And I'm going to take two or three texts as our main focus of discussion. And let's read the first one from the book of Isaiah chapter 8. Don't forget what we have been discussing is the fact that Christians, there is a way the Lord designed their lives to be, especially as it relates with the activities of the evil one. Very importantly, that he executed it, not just planned it, it has been executed, how he expects the life of the Christian to be, especially as it relates with the power of the evil one. That's what we have been discussing. All right? The problems of believers don't start primarily from the devil. They talk all the time as if somebody is doing you. You know, that's an African mentality. It's a very wrong talk when it comes to the lives of Christians. I've established this, that I'm not saying that those things don't happen in life. I have had enough stories, all right? I've heard enough stories. I've had enough experiences to let me know that they occur. They occur. I am just saying that when it comes to the life of the Christian, they are arrant nonsense. That's what they are. People gather together to do you. You know, like we say, yeah, they are doing me. You know, remember the story I told? A man was driving. His car ran into the road, into the bush, and almost killed himself and his passenger. It's a taxi driver, all right, because the car almost ran into a tree. And when it came out, the first response, typical African response, the first response was, who is doing this to me? That is, I fell asleep at the steering. I have not questioned the fact that I may not be sleeping properly. I have not questioned the fact that something may be wrong with my brain. All I'm thinking about is who is responsible. Because that was the second occurrence in about a month of him driving and falling asleep. And having fallen asleep, driving off the road into the bush and almost killing himself. The first thing he thought about was, who is doing this to me? And I want Christians to throw away that mentality entirely. That's one of the main things I want to achieve in this series of teachings, which hopefully I'm concluding today. Stop thinking such thoughts. It is not right for a Christian. If you do like that, what you are doing is that you are bringing yourself down to a level that God has raised you up above. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? By the time, you know, last time, that's what I tried. That's what I spent the time trying to emphasize last time. That you must reject that mentality. You are not a victim. People cannot do that to you. I'm not saying they don't hate you. The fact that people hate you is not new. People will hate you and they will continue to hate you. That's just life. You can never stop it. God didn't plan for you to stop. That's why he gave a prophecy to cover that. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You will always have enemies. Jesus Christ, concerning him, was said, this child was born for the rising and the falling of many. Many people won't like you. For being a disciple of Jesus Christ, many people will not like you. If you do what is right in the midst of darkness, where people are walking in wickedness, they will not like you. Listen, they will gang up against you. You will walk in an office, people will say, why is he? Is he the only one? They will go and gang up. Listen to me. They will tell lies against you. Do you follow my point? They will scheme. People will scheme to make sure you don't progress. Those who know how to do such things will actually go to witch doctors and native doctors to engineer spiritually that something evil happens to you. It will happen. But that's not what I want to emphasize. What I want to emphasize is that no matter how much of that they do, whether naturally or spiritually, it has no effect upon you as a child of God. So it's not worth your prayer time. Don't even rebuke them. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Don't. It's not worth your prayer time. That's what I'm trying to explain. People gather and turn that into a prayer point. Listen, I was telling my wife this morning, we're talking. I said, I have come to the conclusion. The major problem today in the body of Christ is ignorant pastors. I'm not discussing that in detail, but that is the major problem. The people who are leading are blind. That is the major problem. That's why we gather and make such things a major prayer point. Please, that's what I'm trying to discuss, all right? I've talked about this for the last six or seven, I don't know how long now, but I'm hoping to conclude it today. Now, let's read this scripture and you'll see something here. I want to use that to conclude. Last time I began to talk about how to resist the power, the works of the devil, how to resist the evil one. We have explained here and there that the duty we have is to resist the devil. Don't forget what he does is to what? Tempt. That's what he does. There are a number of things he does. Remember, we talked about it then. He accuses, he tempts. What else did I say then? He deceives. They are very important, yes. I said he deceives, he accuses, He tempts. Those are the things he does. He doesn't have more powers than that. If he did, he wouldn't bother tempting. All right? So, when you want to resist the devil, one, resist his temptations. Very importantly, resist his temptations. Resist those works that you know that he does. Now, listen, today I'll talk about again how to resist his accusations. Now, let me tell you something. When you're talking about the work of a Christian, we don't have to itemize these things. These things are itemized just to make it easy to explain. When you are walking, it's not that you wake up in the morning and say, today I want to resist temptation. Tomorrow I want to resist accusation. Today I want to resist deception. You get what I'm trying to explain? It's just part of your life. And the whole resistance formula is just one thing. And you'll see it in a moment. The whole resistance formula is just one thing. And that's what we began to discuss last time, actually. That listen, anyway, we'll read that. Now let's just read that Isaiah chapter 8 so I can use that one to kick into it fully. The book of Isaiah chapter 8, I'll read from verse 11. Isaiah was speaking, actually I quoted this last time, but I just want us to read it properly and use that one to kick into our message for today. He said, For thus the Lord spoke to me with mighty power. I like in James there, he said, with a strong arm, I think something like that. With a strong hand, the Lord spoke to me. He said, for thus the Lord spoke to me with mighty power and instructed me not to walk in the way of these people, saying, that's verse 12, you are not to say, this is what the Lord said to me, you are not to say, it is a conspiracy in regard to all that these people call a conspiracy, and you are not to fear what they fear, or be in dread of it. Please, this is very important. He said, the Lord said this to me with a mighty hand. The Lord said this to me with emphasis. That's what I was trying to explain. That is, the Lord said, and I was not joking about it. The Lord said it, and he wanted me to note it particularly. He said, you are not to say a conspiracy in regard to all that these people call a conspiracy. Sorry, does anybody have the Message Bible here? Around. There's something the Message Bible says here by Eugene Patterson. That Bible, I got it recently, so I read this portion in it. He said, you are not, listen to this. Now, I can't remember his words now, but this was how he said it. He said, there are people who keep on thinking that people are ganging up against them. That's what he said. Are you getting my point? When he said that, this man should have been an African. Because that Bible is the Bible in contemporary English. I said, this man should have been a Nigerian, at least I'm sure. I'm not from Malawi, I'm not from Kenya, I'm not from Sudan. Nigeria, I said, this guy should have been a Nigerian. He said, people go around believing that people are ganging up against them. There's one guy who works with me in the office. I tell him that your problem, you believe everything about him is conspiracy theory. Listen, if you ask him why Pastor Banky is preaching here, he will explain how arrangements, that is, everything about him is conspiracy. If we say they want to elect a new dean, provost, vice chancellor, he said, there's a caucus that has decided who's going to, that is, I told him, he said, this is your problem. And that's, listen to me, what happens to people under such circumstances is this. And this is what I want to emphasize again at the beginning of my message today. Because I have a problem right now with the common preaching in the body of Christ concerning, listen to me, this ancestral problem, canceling the work of witches against you, is a very pervasive teaching today in Christianity, and it's very annoying. And you'll see the reason in a moment why I hate it. But let me quickly explain it. If you go and read the book of... we'll read it in a moment, all right? But if you read Matthew chapter 11, and then Luke chapter 16, thereabout, he said it like this. He said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Or he said that that people now have to press into it. He said, the laws and the prophet were until John, all right? And since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and people have to press into the kingdom. Now, please understand what I'm trying to say. It has never been easy to break through in life. It has never been easy to get your inheritance in life. It has never been easy, are you getting my point, to leave the past failures of your life and step into victory. It has never been easy. The fact that you're having challenges is no proof of anything. You're just normal. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? Listen. Problems are part of life. The first person to have a problem in life, his name is God. Heavenly Father, God. He was the first person with a problem. He came down and saw the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. Are you seeing what I'm saying? That was a problem. He had to solve it. If it's today's African man, who did this to this earth? Who are the witches that have spoiled the earth that I created? That was not it. What did he do?
The Spirit of God brooded upon everything, and then God spoke. And that's your assignment as a believer. You have problems, so what? That's the first thing I want to get out of our mind. This doctrine these days of your ancestors. This was, listen, it makes people irresponsible. What do I mean? It's not my fault. You know I'm hardworking. It's just my ancestors, those foolish people. It's not my fault. You know I'm diligent. It's just the witches. Don't mind them. We overcome them. It's not my fault. You know I'm very disciplined and I plan well and I do everything well. I pray effectively. I obey the word of God. It's not me. It's the ancestral curses. It's not me. It's the thing they planted in the village. Many years ago, a woman was talking with my mother and described to me how, to my mother, sorry, how her mother-in-law, listen to what I'm saying, was a witch. Listen to me. 99 out of 100 times you hear that, it's a lie. Witches exist, but they are not as common as people make it look. Listen, it's a matter of fact. The incidence of witchcraft amongst those that wear ties and suits is the same amongst those who are in the village. That's what I believe. You see, the description about them is common amongst ignorant people. I know what I'm going somewhere. The woman was explaining to my mother that, his mother is a witch. They found out. Another thing, if you see any pastor going around, prophet, identifying witches and wizards, telling Oga, go and find a better job to do. What is he doing? He's trying to... Look, my wife and I were talking about the other day about it. She said, why do people do this thing? That is pastors. Why do they sit on this matter? Then she answered the question herself. I said, it sells. I don't know what I heard I said. It sells. It draws the crowd. It moves the congregation. All the witches against you today, we are going to kill them. People become irresponsible. It's not their fault. It's somebody else's fault. It's my ancestors. Well, not that, for that, my foolish great-grandfather who went and sold us off to the evil spirits. Now we are going to end it today. Listen, let me tell you again. Especially for those who didn't hear me say the first time. Breaking through in life has never been easy. Moving into your inheritance in God has never been a piece of cake. Even Paul said, a great and effectual door. Are you getting my point? Has been opened for us, but many people saw it, so they want to contend with us so that we don't enter. There are many adversaries. So please, as a Christian, you are not to start checking who it is that is warning you. We're reading from Isaiah chapter 8. The Message Bible said that some people go around believing that people are ganging up against them. And God warned Isaiah, please, that must never be your mindset. It must never be your mindset. Accept responsibility for your life. You hear what I said? Accept what? Responsibility for your life. It's not somebody else's problem. You are not trying to solve the problem created by somebody else. It's your life. Are you getting my point? And listen, as a believer, you go as far. In fact, there's some that we didn't read it, but let me just open to that Matthew chapter 11. We'll come back to this, Isaiah chapter 8. There's something about it that I want to just, when I was reading it, it kind of stood out to me. So I think it would be important for me to highlight it. From that verse 11, it said, that's Matthew chapter 11. It said, truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone, said there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from, now, notice this, from verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. My pastor does this, read it like this, that it requires aggressive pursuit. Are you getting my point? That it requires what? It requires what? Aggressive pursuit. And violent men, those who give it the necessary diligence, they take it by force. Now listen to verse 13. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Now there's a reason why I read that. Why I read this? Because I believe that the way by which you pursue it aggressively, the violence that is necessary, all right, are these prophecies found in the law and the prophet. Are you getting my point? That is, we are not fighting it by the force of human arms. It's not by our own strength, not by our own natural wisdom, but that the prophets prophesied until John. Are you getting me? The law spoke until John, telling you, therefore, the way by which you will enter into the kingdom is by taking the prophetic word and waging war with it. Do you follow what I'm explaining? I said that to emphasize something. So, listen, your problems in life, they are not unique. It's just the way it is when it comes to entering into the kingdom. Listen to me, you can never, ever pray enough to stop problems from coming towards you. Those is when we're letting the word of faith under the teachings of Kenneth Hagin and Co. Kenneth Hagin said one day, either him or somebody else, a woman came up to him and said, "Pray. What shall I pray? That the devil will not trouble you anymore." The man said, "No problem. Bring your hands." Either him or Shambach did this and told the woman, "And pray with the woman like this: Father, in the name of Jesus, kill her, make her die so that she will go to heaven." Do you hear what I said? Make her die so that she will go to heaven. Did you notice that? Of course, if it was you, what would you do? You stop the prayer. The woman jacked out her. What kind of prayer is this? I said, "Pray that the devil wouldn't worry me." He said, "Listen, my friend, the only way the devil will leave you alone is when you are dead. As long as you are alive and you're on this earth, the battle continues. You cannot in one night..." Listen, I want to say this to you because Christians do this. You cannot in one night prayer end all the so-called problems that the ancestors brought upon your head. You cannot by one night prayer, listen to me, nullify the covenants they made against you. Not because the covenants are too powerful, but rather because that's not what your problem is. The covenant was nullified under Jesus Christ. The moment you believed, you were set free. You say, "Pastor Bank, what therefore am I contending against?" That's what the issue is. To walk into your inheritance. Remember what I said. The devil cannot stop you deliberately. That is like, you won't get in there. Stop by the way. He does not have that power. So what does he do? He tries to convince you otherwise. That's one. He deceives you. Tell you things like, "It's not necessary. What are you struggling for in life? Why are you bothering? This one that God has done for you, is it not enough?" A man spoke to me once when I was serving. I was a military officer. And he said his father couldn't do anything but send him to, I think, maybe primary school or secondary school. That his own children, that he has been able to give them a national diploma, OND. That maybe they will be able to give their own children HND and BSc. Those ones will now give their own grandchildren MSc. And then their own that is the next first PhD person will be in the fourth or fifth generation. I was a military officer. I was driving in his car. And I shook my head. I said, "This man is walking in darkness." I felt like saying, "Sir, what stops you from talking..." Now listen to me. "From speaking to your children, even if you don't have the resources, personally, you can talk to them so that they will be so fired up, your son will be a professor. What stops that?" But this is what I'm trying to talk about. He's been convinced that he has tried. Like we say, "I don't try." So he has rested. He wasn't old. And I said, "This man has rested. He's okay where he is." And then somebody is going to prophesy later that his problem is the witches of the ages past. No! It's that the devil sat down and persuaded him he doesn't have to go beyond here. He does that a lot of Christians. "You have a good job. What more are you looking for? Just make sure they don't sack you before the days of pension. You have a job. You can build a house. You pay mortgage over the next 60 years. I don't know how long. You understand my point? And then your children go to school. You have a car. You change it every 15 years. I mean, what else are you looking for in life? Selfish human being. Go and read my book, Grace to Prosper. There I talked about the vow of prosperity. The next chapter I talked about the vow of poverty. What am I talking about? Prosperity is not so that I can have 6 cars. You have a job. If your boss thought the way you are thinking now, no, you wouldn't have a job. If my landlord thought the way you are thinking now, I wouldn't have a house to live in." Are you getting my point? That is, prosperity is not about, "Let me eat, now I'm full." I keep on saying, how much food can you eat? How much? The richer men get, the more they diet. You know that? The richer they are, the more they diet. Those days when I was much younger, everywhere you go for party, what do you like to drink? You want the richest drink. He said, bring me a bottle of malt. These days, you want the malt? I shake my head vigorously. Once they give me food, please, can I have a bottle of water? 10 years ago, water, ke, tori, kini. Why? When they offer you drink it. When you finish the first bottle, we like some more. Why not? You are getting what I'm saying? But the richer you get in life, the less you want those things. So a man once, he said he ate only once a day. I was very young that time. I was marveling at how can a man of his caliber, the man owned property, he owned a hotel, you know, he had money, he had a lot of things. And the man was eating once a day. And I was looking at him wondering how on earth this man can eat once a day. When at that time, I wouldn't have done badly on 4 times a day. That was 1993. Almost 20 years later, I understand why the man will eat once a day. If I start eating once a day, that's not the big deal. So I'm like, oh, you're looking very nice. And when I see people like him now, sir, you're looking trim. And you get what I'm saying? What I'm saying, prosperity is not about what I can grab. It's about how much I can influence this earth with righteousness. It's about how much I can solve problems for other people. It's about how much I can influence my environment and my society. What am I saying? I reject the devil's mentality. Therefore, even if my ancestors swore that all his great-grandchildren, are you getting my point? And their descendants must die in poverty. I can't die in poverty because I have stepped into God's order, into God's plan. I'm not thinking the way God thinks. That devil will be able to keep me in darkness if he will be able to persuade me to think the way he's thinking. The kingdom of God suffers what? Aggressive pursuit. We must aggressively change our minds. We must aggressively start thinking the way God thinks. Listen, you cannot cast that spirit of poverty. Get out of my life. Listen, cast it now from now till tomorrow. If you don't become a man and woman of faith, it's not going anywhere. If you don't start thinking the way God thinks, it's not going anywhere. If you are still sowing seed so you can get, it's not going anywhere. Until in your mind you become a cheerful giver. You know, go and read my tract, Cheerful Giver. I explain it there. It's a sign of faith. It's not that I want to give so that God can give back to me. That's called godliness without contentment. You cast that spirit from now to tomorrow, it's not going anywhere. Because you are doing works that entrench his traits in your life. That's why one night prayer can't stop it. It can't stop those effects. Like I said to you the other time, because people don't realize, are you getting my point? That the things that bring problems into the life of the Christian, then about 3 categories, we place them. Number one, ignorance. Don't forget it. I need to emphasize it again. Ignorance. The word of God, the way we described it here before, has 4 different aspects. Every one of it that you are not walking in knowledge in allows you to become short of God's glory. It's not the witch. You must know God's promises. You must know the way God says you should do things. There are principles for executing events in your life. You must learn all of those things. I was talking to one young woman yesterday. I was just teasing her. I was in front of my office. She walked past. She looks like, I don't know how to describe her now. Anyway, she looked like an artwork. That's a good word. She looked like what? At work. The hair, the eyes, you know? Everything. Now stop the guest. Say, please, excuse me. Wait. I'm serious. I said, let me look at you, please. So she stopped. I looked at the hair, the eyes, the nails. I said, excuse me, young woman, how long does this take in the morning? He said, well, maybe like 2 hours. 2 hours? I said, what time do you have to do other things? I said, what time do you have to read? Listen, that's where I'm going. He said, well, right now I'm not reading. I'm not reading for any exam. I said, see, this is the problem. I said, come in. I was in front of my office. You know, I was standing at my door. She was walking past in my department. I said, come in. Stay here. I took a book I just bought. I said, listen. Now, I'm adding more words now. You have more exams coming up in your life than I have. Yet, I'm reading. I'm currently the head of that department in a teaching hospital. I'm reading. I have, look, scientific publications, I have over 20. I'm reading. Religious publications, you are a witness. Yet, I am reading. Small begin. Internship, you are not reading because there's no exam coming. That is, I was like, what? What is wrong with this generation? As a child, we went into competition on how many novels you had read. These days, they go into competition on how many films you have watched. Now, let me not sit on that. What am I saying? You must read. You must have understanding so that the spirit of poverty will leave you alone. No matter how much God wants to bless you, I told you, blessing doesn't come into your life despite your stupidity. The first sign of blessing in your life is God gives you wisdom. The first sign of blessing in your life is that God gives you correction. With all the inheritance that Jacob was getting from his father and his grandfather, God first sent him to the house of Laban to go and learn sense. That this, your subtlety, will not get you into the kingdom. Go to Laban's house and get corrected. And Oswald Chambers said that without that, he would not have experienced the inheritance. That Isaac, not having his mindset, his behavior, his characteristics, did not have to go to a house of labor. He took instructions from his father and he was able to step into the inheritance. Are you getting my point? Listen, with God, with good knowledge, you drive away those ancestral problems out of your life. Not because the knowledge in themselves are the power, but they let you know that, listen, you have been set free. What's keeping you back now is your ignorance. I said, when we break persistently, we walk in a habit. If you see John said that whoever is born of God does not sin, what he was saying that his habit is not sin and iniquity. When men walk habitually in sin and iniquity, they open the door to the devil to walk into their lives afresh. I accept that if he comes from an area where the particular devil is common, for example, if he's in Nigeria, the spirit of corruption is very strong down here. That's aggressive pursuit. You have to work against that. I accept that if somebody is in that kind of area, that's the kind of spirit that starts tempting him. But like I was telling you, all the defense is one thing. You focus on the word of God, and by the word of God, resist sin in your life. By the word of God, you make predictions for your life. Let me continue. We're reading somewhere, and I stopped. So you see, what have I said so far? Forget the conspiracy. Forget what? Nobody's conspiring against you. I know they are there. You know, I've established that. But it's ineffective. Doesn't matter. It's not what you should worry about. People say the reason, you know, stupid things shouldn't come to your head. Because my sisters are not married. Therefore, I won't be married. I know it's wrong in our family. Let me tell you something. You have a new family. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
That family is called what? The family of God through his son, Jesus Christ. Anyone that has believed has stepped into that family. You are getting my point. I said that one last time. Insist on thinking like that. Oh, but I just can't leave it alone. That way, you stop wondering, who is worrying me? You start asking yourself, how am I worrying myself? Because without me worrying myself, I can't have any problem. Nobody is worrying me. Please, don't forget what I'm saying. Some people will come and sit down now. Let me tell you the kind of thing that will happen to you. You will go home, or you, somebody hearing this teaching, they will not start telling you stories. There was this girl. Listen, tell them that these are stories. That once it's story, leave it alone. Tell the man, pick a scripture, pick the Bible, enlighten me from the word of God. Because that's what I hear all the time. Look, there was this girl. What happened? In their village, they buried something. There was this guy. They saw. They hung it on the roof. We saw it. Who said you didn't see it? All of you are blind. You can see anything you like. Blind people see things in common. They all see darkness. Is that not what they see? You can go ahead and see it. I'm saying if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All the things buried or hanging have passed away. That's what I'm saying. You stop thinking in that regard. Please, I just can't seem to leave this matter alone. There are people who can't shake people's hands. They are afraid. That's when you shake hands like this, they extract your destiny. They give you food. You go to parties, you can't eat. Because you have heard that there was one baba of those days, a deep dibia, who used to collect people's destinies at ceremonies. So they put food before you. You start asking questions. When the Bible says, eat it, they're asking questions. Give thanks, it is sanctified. You finish wedding ceremony, you start casting out all the demons from the wedding gifts. I've seen it before. You have seen it before. It's a very common thing these days in blind Christianity we are practicing. People who don't see. They give you gifts, you gather.